Aisha, and I'm a former host of MOPA Single Mothers by Choice, or SMCs. Like you, as an SMC, I decided to become a mother knowing I'd be the sole care provider and parent for my children, at least at the outset. The MOCA stood for Black, so I'm using the word Black, and I'll be discussing being a single mother by choice from a Black woman's lens. You'll connect with all the interesting and fun things about this non-traditional path, like discussing which sperm to use and some hard truths about fertility and the realities of dating as a single mother who doesn't have a co-parent to rely on occasionally, and what it's actually like to parent as an S&C. This is the Black Single Mothers by Choice podcast. I have been talking a lot about representation matters. We've been talking about the Black dynamic and how we exist in so many white spaces, that is from the places where we work, the different places where we go to get medical care, where our kids go to school, and also what we watch on TV, what we consume as entertainment. Y'all all know that in marginalized communities, we say representation matters, and it's never felt more critical than it does today with all that has happened post-2020. And so the urgency of now seems to have caught on with some of the networks and streaming channels that we watch, studio executives and the different brands. We wanted to take some time to talk through and tease apart what all we're experiencing right now as Black women and as Black parents and raising Black girls in particular. So let's run through a list of hit or miss things that we've experienced over the past year. But first I wanted to talk through, what does representation matters mean to you? So for me, I think the textbook, you can't aspire to be something that you don't see, right? You can be aware of what the realm of possibilities are, but if you don't see a pathway forward for someone who looks like you to get there, and that's not encouraged, that's a problem for me. So representation matters means to me that you have to see yourself in the different opportunities that exist in this world. And I have started to be a lot more intentional. And this actually stemmed from a conversation I had with a friend of mine. We'll call him Mr. C. And he was like, when he was raising his son, he had nieces, boys and girls, and there was a lot of Disney shows. And he's like, Disney is so damaging. And one real critical conversation he had was around the number of Black people that showed up in these shows and how the hair was represented. And so at one point, they decided as a family that they would not watch any shows that did not have Black characters. And he said that there was a good 6 months that they did not watch a whole lot of TV because that's the dearth, the void of Black characters. And so I took a spin on that for both my kids and as well as myself, but my kids sooner than myself. And I'd say, do you see anybody in that show that looks like mommy, that looks like baby sister, that looks like you? And so now this is a running commentary. So my daughter gets extremely happy when she's, mommy, look, there are a few people in the show and they're this character and this is what they do. And then she also recognizes when there are shows that don't have Black people, she's like, really, this show, but there are no Black people in it. And but the fact that at 7, she's aware of these things. And at one point when Beyonce released The Lion King, that whole video series documentary, we watched that a few times. And so she's just like, mommy, do we only watch shows with Black people? Do we only listen to music with Black people? I was like, no. But I love that we're engaging in these conversations with our children so that they do become critical thinkers, and that as they go through the world, they're looking with these eyes and a racial lens at who's present, who's not present, who's in the room. I was intentional about moving to a particular location, and I moved to a location that has a lot of diversity. So we'll see the number of Black people that actually exist in the population, which is still not 100% comfortable for me. And I still have to seek out Black spaces, but it represents the diversity of the world that my child will hopefully be going into as a global citizen. We talk a lot. We'll talk about the different shows we're watching. We'll talk about the different conversations and cartoons that the kids are watching. And so we took a stab at thinking about the things that happened recently in pop culture that have us question who was in the room, when something was being created or when a campaign was being developed. And so for me, in my head, every time those conversations happen, I go back to Hamilton and I think about the song "In the Room Where It Happened" with Leslie Odom. So clearly, who was in the room when that happened? There were people who were in the room. There were people who were not present. Nobody gave a final oversight in terms of diversity, equity, or inclusion. And not just who's in the room where it happens, but who's in the room and who's empowered to speak up when something egregious, you know, you look at it on paper and it's just like, oh, that's not going to go over well. So there are a few examples of that in modern times. One is the Shea Moisture campaign that fell flat, where they were talking about the different hair textures and you had illustrations of a looser curl pattern where the primary consumer for Shea Moisture are Black women with 4C hair that's kinky. And so this pattern that's being lauded across that whole advertising campaign is just a slap in the face to the people who are actually purchasing the products. Another campaign that fell flat was the UN Women's Valentine's Day illustration, where they had same-sex couples, they had biracial couples, they had couples with different abilities, disabilities, and then they had the Black woman who was just hugging herself alone. They were busy patting themselves on the back. Look how diverse this is. And then the last one that popped to mind when we were just organically talking about this was the Dove commercial, where it's like, we've got this body wash and it makes you feel so good and so clean. And I feel so clean as a Black woman that when I wash off, I look like a white woman. Yeah. So it's with that lens that we come to this conversation and we talk about TV shows that we are watching, that our kids are watching, because we are looking at it with that lens. Like some things are just glaring. Now, some shows are getting it right. Some streaming networks are clearly putting in the work. I still question some of the content, which we'll get into. What are you watching that you think is getting it right in terms of representation? So I spent quite a bit of time watching TV after the kids go to bed. All right, so I broke my list into shows that have gotten it right and then shows that are on a journey. And so my list of shows that have gotten it right, I really like Grown-ish because it's a college age show. It's a real diverse cast. It is, they've got the different genders represented. They have different socioeconomic levels. They're all in college, so that doesn't come to mind. But it's so many different themes are interwoven within their stories. And that's on Freeform. I like Good Trouble for the same reason. The characters are diverse. They spend time on developing each of the different characters. So you get to know the characters really well. I do Run the World that was on Starz because it represents a different narrative. It's Sex in a City, but for Black people, and it doesn't center white people. And it shows how most of us truly navigate. So Run the World does that. It's a group of 30-something Black professional women who are just going about the day-to-day ups and downs of just being a woman in Black skin. And so that was refreshing. I really like that. First Club on BET Plus, it had Jill Scott. It had a nice cast, a nice threesome, different hues represented just in different parts of the professional world. One is an entertainer, one was a legal professional in the politics, and one was a nurse, a medical professional. So it just showed a broad swath of different professions. And I really like that. Blood and Water on Netflix is a show that takes place in South Africa, an almost majority Black cast of young people up and coming. And it just told this private school story. And I really liked seeing the different shades of Black. I really liked hearing the mother tongue from Africa and the way that they wove the stories together. And then Insecure, of course, Insecure on HBO, just loved it.
I definitely say Big Brother, I think it was season 23, where they had the Cookout Alliance. That was fun to watch. They were getting it right.
And so I felt like the whole cookout and how it came together was a demonstration of how there's such a common bond between Black people due to the very nature of our experience in this country being, regardless of race, socioeconomic level, that you could potentially have the same experience and you probably have had a run-in at some point due to race. And so it's almost there's this imperceptible language where you can just give a nod or a look and we automatically get it because we've had that. And it was just like the cookout. So those were the shows that were getting it right. there are other shows that are on their journey. So I'll say this, Chesapeake Shores was an all white show. And every now and then it's like Gilmore Girls. Mm-hmm. I want to pop a tab and just watch some crap on TV. So let me tell you about their journey. So for the first four seasons, it was unapologetically white. Mm-hmm. Then season five comes at 2019. Season five, I think, spanned 2019 and 2020, right? Because the pandemic hit, they were on hiatus. And when they came back, they had a plethora of Black characters, supporting roles with people talking and showing up in multiple episodes, like Black people. And I was just like, huh. And so then I saw how they were trying to turn. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, at that point in 2020, race was an issue in this country. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So two shows that I do want to speak on, and I believe these are both BBC shows, Black and Lupin. Their shows have smattering of Black people, but why can't we ever pair a Black man with a Black woman romantic interest, right? So BBC tends to get this wrong mm-hmm. out of 99% of the shows, and I like BBC shows. Mm-hmm. And it's just like anytime there is a chance to pair a white woman with a romantic partner, they put them with a Black person, a Black mm-hmm. dude. And mm-hmm. it's just seriously, and it's cannot seem to find a Black woman. And we know from our spaces, we mm-hmm. have Black women who live in, and in Lupin, the dude was like pining for multiple women throughout the series. None of them were Black. All of them were white. Mm-mm. And mm-mm. so I'm like, so yeah, that was a problem for me. BBC, do better. And yeah, so now, your part. Now, for children's television, we think that Netflix is doing good. In my household, we watch a lot of PBS, and PBS has been killing it in the diversity conversations, in the representation on their shows. I have no problem at all having my kids watch PBS all day, every day. I listen to some of this stuff and I'm just like, huh, that's interesting. So they've got representation across the Hispanic community, indigenous communities, Black communities. I'm like, and then Netflix, they've got Karma. They've got Ada Twist Scientist, which is another show. There's another two, Doc McStuffins is, I want to say PBS or, but we watch Doc McStuffins. Yeah. On a final note, here's something that really sticks in my craw. Dear Prime Video, dear Netflix and other networks, your definition of shows or movies for Black people not the shows or movies we would pick for ourselves. So please ask us, mm-hmm. hire us, put us in the room and empower us, because we don't want to see slave fiction. We don't want to see mm-hmm. Jim Crow era. We don't mm-hmm. want to see Black people being tortured or tormented. That is not the ways that we identify and uplift ourselves. Those are the things that you need, white America, mm-hmm. to understand the historical context in which you are currently living in. We know that history. We want to see something mm-hmm. different. And thank you all. We really feel moved and we really feel passionate about the work that we do and the representation of Black women. And the emails that you send, the shout outs that you give us are so greatly appreciated. And it's like the wind beneath our wings. So we hope that you all enjoy this holiday season and however you do the holidays, and that your families stay safe and healthy. And until 2022.
Well, Pod, thank you so much for taking the time to listen. If you like what you've heard, please share this podcast with your girlfriends, and I'd love to hear your thoughts about the topics covered in this episode. So email me at mochasnc@gmail.com. If you found value in the topics covered, consider making a donation using the link in the show notes below. Till next time, Pod. Bye now.